As our custom, we hear God's word and the preaching of his word before we have the Lord's Supper. So we'd like to read from Exodus chapter 12 and reading verses 21 to 28 and then 43 to 50. So reading from Exodus 12, beginning to read at verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel, on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. And it will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.' So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did." And then reading verses 43 to 50. "And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it, but every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover of the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as a native of the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you.' Thus all the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did." So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, God used the 10th plague, namely the death of the firstborn in Egypt, as a context to illustrate his wonderful redemption. And this is a fitting passage then for us to focus on. And we need to see that it wasn't just a reaction to the Egyptians for what Pharaoh was saying to rescue God's people from Egypt, but it was also a lesson for the Israelites. They needed to understand from whence their redemption was coming. They needed to understand that it was by God's might that they were being led out. It was by God's strength. It was by God's protection. And that they owed everything to God himself. And so just because they were his people, just because they were in the covenant, did not mean that they could treat him lightly, that they could just take him for granted. No, no, no. They needed to understand this important relationship that they had with their God. He was their Savior. He was the Almighty God. They were his people. They were the ones that he had chosen. They were the ones that he had set his love on. They were the ones that he came to deliver from the land of Egypt. Not because there was anything intrinsically better in them than other nations, but simply because God had chosen them and set his love upon them. And so they, as they set out, as they were delivered by God's hands, they set out to the promised land. It was unmistakable that it was by the grace and the mercy of God himself. And so this Passover sacrifice of the Lord then, first and foremost, was a means of preserving life. It was a means of preserving life. And why? Well, on account of sinfulness, on account of stubbornness. That the angel of death was the one that was going to pass over. He was the one that was going to come into Egypt. And he was going to pass over. And he came, as his name indicates, to bring death. To strike death. To strike the firstborn. And why? Well, because of sinfulness. Because of stubbornness. And so there was this danger that certainly the Egyptians were under that danger. The Egyptians could not do the same thing as the Israelites did and think they would be protected. This is not some magic. The Passover was not some magic. That somehow God couldn't look into the house, to put it more spiritually. That God could not look into the heart. That this was simply a matter that if you had blood on the lintels, then the angel of death would pass over. No, it wasn't like that at all. Even if the Egyptians did exactly the same as the Israelites, God still would have struck their firstborn. He would still struck their firstborn. When people cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and they say, "Oh, Lord, Lord," he doesn't say, "Oh, I made a mistake. You belong over here." No, he said, "Go away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." So it's not simply an outward show protection. No, it has to do with the heart. And so the Israelites that were in covenant with God, they had the privilege, they had the right to do this and to expect that the angel of death would pass over. But notice they had to do it. They had to do it. So in other words, even if you were in the covenant, even if you were an Israelite, you couldn't say, "Oh, well, God knows, he can see. I don't have to put anything on the doorpost. He knows, I mean, he knows everything. So I don't really have to do that. The angel of death will just pass over because God is knowledgeable enough to know that the family that lives in this house believes in it." No. No. No, they needed to take that Passover lamb. They needed to put the blood on the doorpost. Even though, yes, they were in covenant with God. Which, of course, is the case nowadays. Just because you're in the church, just because you're in the covenant, just because you belong to a Christian family, doesn't mean that you don't have to do anything and you just go through life and thinking everything's fine, I've got my passport as it were, God knows who I am. No, no, no. You have to believe, you have to be covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. It's not automatic. So each family had to listen very carefully to what Moses says. Each of you need to take a lamb, the Passover lamb. Each of you needs to sacrifice that. Each of you needs to take that hyssop and you need to dip it in that basin of blood and you need to put it on as an indicator of your trust and faith in the God of Israel. And it's only then that when the angel of death passed over, that their firstborn would be spared. No, that was symbolic in the sense of the firstborn. That was symbolic of the fact that God owned everything, owned them. They were His. He had purchased them. Not only their firstborn, but all of their children. After all, children are a heritage from the Lord. They're not ours in that sense. So God gives them to everything belongs to God. But each and every one of them needed to trust God, needed to trust the provisions that He had provided of preserving their life. Not only by leading them out of Egypt, of course, but right there that night in regard to the firstborn. And so that's what we have to do. God has provided that wonderful fulfillment of the Passover lamb, of course, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, it was at that time. It was when He was celebrating the Passover that He brought it to its ultimate fulfillment in Himself. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so that's what God has provided for this world. And we cannot simply say, well, I know that God knows I believe. But yet we don't profess that. We don't show that. We don't embrace that. We don't confess with our mouth that, yes, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. And that by His blood we are cleansed from all of our sins. It's through His blood that we are accepted before God in peace. It's through His blood that our sins are washed away. And we stand in the righteous robes of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something that we have to do. It's open to the world, but the world, when it doesn't believe, it's of no use. Even if the world goes confessing that when it doesn't believe, it's no use. Just like with the Egyptians. So take a Passover lamb and do that, it meant nothing. And it would not serve them at all in terms of preservation of life. And so we need to take heed to what Moses says. Each and every one of us needs to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to take that lamb. And we need to be washed in His blood. And we need to publicly, as the Israelites did. When they did that, they made a public announcement, as it were, that this family, this household, were those that trusted in God, the God of the Israelites. And they were sheltering under Him. That was a confession of faith, in a sense. Well, we have to do that too. That we confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart. That the Lord Jesus Christ, by His death on the cross, has saved us from all of our sins. And the blood is very significant. It wasn't that just take the Passover lamb and eat that and then get ready to leave in the morning. No, no, no. The lamb had to be slain. The blood had to be taken. It was the blood that was showing on the lintels of the door. It's in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, people of God. It's not that we think He was a nice guy, or that we think even that He was a prophet, or that He taught good things, or what He said would really help the world. All of those things are true. But that's not the central teaching of the Scriptures with respect to our salvation. Our salvation is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His death. That's why we sang as we did. In the cross, be my glory ever. It's not in the wooden post that we used. That's not what we're saying. We're saying in the event that took place on the cross. It's in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that our salvation lies. And so that's what we glory in. That's what we look to. In all of our doubts, in all of our struggles and worries, it's to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that we look. We don't look within like so many tell us to do. Find that inner light, that inner strength. There's nothing in there. There's darkness in there. We look away from ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ because He is all our hope. He is all our glory. There's no doubt in Him. There's no uncertainty there. When we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an anchor for the soul. And there's cleansing for the soul. And so the blood is what we look to. It's the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that we look to. And though people may mock that we believe in and follow somebody that was crucified, to us, it's nothing to be shameful about. To us, that's the thing that we boast most of all. It's that that melts our hearts. It's that that makes us love the Lord Jesus Christ even more. We don't say, oh, he failed. No, no, no. Anyone that lays down his life for us, of course, we're going to embrace it with all of our hearts, all of our soul. And so the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ through his death is the means by which we are preserved. Preserved, that is, from the wrath of God. On the angel of death. I mean, perhaps we didn't even know that. I mean, how sad that is. We don't even know that we're in danger from God, and the danger is of eternal death. The wages of sin is death. I mean, people go around as though they can just reject those notions at will. I don't believe them. As though just because you don't believe them, supposedly they go away. No, they don't go away. The angel of death, the wrath of God, is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. That's what Romans 1 starts with. Against all unrighteousness. So that's the position that we're born into. We're born fugitives. We're born with the angel of death coming after us. And it's just a matter of time. And so it's to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to Christ that we need to flee. Each and every one of us needs to obey what Moses is saying in its fulfillment. That is, that we need to be covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we're covered with his blood, then as Paul said in Romans, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. We don't live in fear and in trepidation. We don't live in fear that death is going to come and we're going to face a judgment and eternal death is going to be what we experience. Absolutely not. We have no fear, even though all around us there's death and there's judgment as the angel of death or the judgment of God comes. For us, there is comfort and protection and peace. Oh, what a terrible night that was. In Egypt. I mean, can you just imagine the cries, the anguish that was going on outside as every family, the firstborn, was struck dead throughout all the nations. Through all the nations. What misery, what weeping. But inside every one of those homes that faithfully did what Moses commanded them to do, there was that quiet peace. Quiet peace. People of God, though the world around us is perishing, those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are assured of eternal life. But in the second place, Moses directs some verses in regard to our children. And so he says, look, when you're in your homes and you take the Passover lamb and you kill it, and you take the blood and you put it on the doorposts, then you need to explain that to your children. And so in the service itself, there was included questions that the children would ask, and they would ask their parents what they were doing. What was this that they were engaged in? And then they have to explain that. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? Why are you doing this? Then they were to respond. that you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So this message that we have that is conveyed in the celebration of the Passover and certainly in the celebration of the Lord's Supper isn't a message that needs that should be kept to ourselves. Just by doing it and having people see it is not enough. We need to explain what we're doing. And so when our children sit, or when their children were sitting in their households in that night and these things were going on, they were, of course, remember to do that every year, right? So this is such an important message. It wasn't just done on that evening. It was to be done every year. Every year, this was they were to be reminded of that. Because it's so easily forgotten. It's so easily taken for granted. And we start standing on our own two feet. We're in our own country, and everything is going well, and we start becoming proud. That's what God warned them of. Well, this celebration, as it were, kept their feet to the ground. It reminded them of their history. It reminded them of where they stood. And so it's equally important for our children. And so our children need to be taught that. As the church, we need to keep speaking about that. We need to keep this message alive and clear and central. Not only to those that come into our midst from the outside, as we will indicate in a minute, but to those that are given to us by God in our own midst, that are born in the covenant and are raised in the covenant. They need to hear it. And the danger has been in the past that we take it for granted. We think, well, our children just automatically going to, you know, follow suit. Or worse still, that they really don't have to do anything. It's their right. By being children of believers, is their right. I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. And so these commands of Moses and this making this part and parcel of the celebration emphasize the fact that our children need to understand what is going on. So all that I've said in terms of the Passover, we need to explain that to them. They need to know that the angel of death is a threat to them as well. And that the only refuge for them is being covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, being washed in his blood, having our sins dealt with, being delivered from the devil himself, and being brought into the household of God, as we've looked at previously in Ephesians. They need to do that. They need to become wise unto salvation, says the New Testament, says Paul in 2 Timothy. And so we have to speak to them. Not only in terms of simply communicating information, knowledge about the scriptures, but we have to speak to the heart. We have to speak to the heart of our children. That they need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to trust in him. They need to look to his death as the means of forgiveness of their sins and the reception of eternal life, preservation of life through his death on the cross. It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. And so parents and churches need to have that focus as well. Not simply outward focus to the world. We definitely have to have that, and I'll mention that in a minute. We do need to be mission-minded, absolutely. The world is perishing around us. How can we ignore that? But not at the expense of ignoring those that we already have inside. Not at the expense of our own children. No, no. We need to address them. We need to find ways to do it. Not in a panic mode, by the way. Not in a panic mode. But trusting in the work of God himself by his Holy Spirit. After all, in the end, it's not in our hands. We can't make it happen. But we certainly ought to be instruments in God's hands. We certainly need to commend the gospel. We certainly need to voice the gospel. We certainly need to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ as their only sacrifice for our sins. That is something that ought not to be heard only now and again. It ought to be heard continually in our homes and in our churches, so that our children may come not only to see the things that we're doing, but actually to do them themselves with all of their heart, with all of their soul, and with all of their mind. But also there's the element of foreigners, and Moses, you know, mentions that. The Egyptians could not simply force their way into the homes of Israelites and expect to be safeguarded. Right? They couldn't do that. Certainly for those that were non-Jews, there was a place of refuge for them too. But it was by means of them believing. So if they believed, their males were to be circumcised. Well, what was circumcision all about with Abraham? It was the means of entering into the covenant. That's what it was. It wasn't simply, oh yeah, I want to stand with you guys too. No. There was a way in which that was reflected. And in the Old Testament, it was by circumcision. The males were circumcised and entered into the covenant with God. They became part and parcel of God's people. But it was by belief. It wasn't simply by the outward act of circumcision that would do it. That doesn't benefit at all. If our hearts are not circumcised, then circumcision doesn't mean anything. Absolutely nothing. But Moses said, no. If someone just passing through, they ought not to partake. I mean, if you've got a servant and they're just a hired servant, then they don't automatically get allowed are allowed to partake. Only by believing themselves, only by being circumcised and being part and parcel of God's people, do they have the right to participate and to receive that protection. And so it is with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If people just come and they expect to partake of the Lord's Supper, we say no. Not because we don't like you and we don't want you to participate, but we want you to participate in the right way, in the way that God has indicated. So in the Old Testament, as I said, it was by belief and being circumcised. So it is in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's profession of one's faith and being part and parcel of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a limited supply that we say, oh, more people come in, we get less, so we want to keep it down. No. It's nothing like that. There's enough here for all the world and many besides. The sufficiency of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is limitless. That's not the problem. The problem is that you need to come in the right way, speaking to our children as well as to anyone that would come into our church. We'd love to have you at the Lord's Supper. We'd love to have you covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not in our hands. We cannot just give it to you. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as people did so, then they were included. And they also partook. And they also were covered. And they also left Egypt for the promised land. People of God, this sacrament is a fulfillment of what we're looking at in the Old Testament in terms of the Passover and the Passover lamb. Even more here. Through the scriptures, we understand the preciousness of it. All of our sins are forgiven and cleansed. We are given the right to be called children of God. We are provided protection from any condemnation from God. And we're brought into fellowship with Him
to sit at his table, to be nourished by him day by day, throughout all of our life, and finally to be brought home to heaven itself. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is what you need to be under and cleansed by, so that you might indeed be preserved and have life, eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the provisions that you have provided, because we are well aware of the fact that this world is subject to futility, and that all those that live outside of you live not only without God, but without hope. They live with certain judgment and wrath that is coming. And our Father in heaven, we cannot imagine what life is like living as fugitives, living with the certainty of knowing death is coming and judgment with it. What a burden. How weary would such people be? And what burdens to carry. And so we're so thankful that you have provided for us this wonderful refuge through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all of our sins may be once and for all forgiven and paid in full, so that there may be no accusation left to be brought against us, but rather that we are embraced in the redemptive arms of our Savior and granted assurance and comfort. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the reminder in the sacrament of these wonderful truths. And our Father in heaven, we do pray for our children that they too may hear and understand and come to shelter under his wings, and all those that you bring into our midst. That is our prayer for them, that they also may confess with their mouths, believe with their hearts, and enter into this wonderful rest of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless the celebration of this Lord's Supper to our hearts and souls. And our Father, that it would equip us to go forth into this week to serve you with all of our strength. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and respond.